Will we be able to make this episode without Sarah? Let's discuss. Welcome to Princess and Scoundrel, where we take you along our scrappily ever after from Fantasyland to Tatooine and everything in between. I'm Steven, and you've probably noticed that there is no Sarah here today. So she recently woke up wrong, tweaked her neck, and is pretty immobile. She's gone to the doctor, so don't fear. She's gone to the doctor, got herself checked out. She's on some meds, so she's sleeping. But this gave us the best opportunity because we saw rumblings, little teases from the Dano channel of something. We've been in contact with him as a pretty close friend, and the thing that we have kind of kept to is he has his privacy, and we wanted to kind of honor that. But because now he's putting himself out there again, we said, Dano, we got to get you on. So I want to welcome Dano from the Dano channel, from where, whatever he's doing now.
Yeah, it's still called that. It's still called that.
Hi. So you're going to help me.
Is this my first public appearance back on YouTube, at least?
I want to say it is. And
this might be my return to YouTube, is on your channel of all places. So
it's an honor.
Sarah's not here. Wow.
So yeah, I don't know if that's like, it's going to coincide, or like what the reasons were, but it happened the way it happened.
The universe works in mysterious ways.
I think the great thing about it, because the main thing I wanted to kind of talk about was because it's kind of about mental health, right? This is something that we've talked about on our channel, and just trying to keep yourself motivated and in that right mindset. And I know the little that I know from you taking just taking a mental break. And I think that's one of those things that it should be a healthy thing. It should be something that's people should respect, right? Something should if it's something that you're needing a break. And so I think that's why it just kind of brought this conversation up.
Yeah.
So the first thing I want to kind of go to is just being a creative, right? What was the motivation to be creative for you?
I mean, that's one of those things that's kind of always been there. And especially now as like a adult learning more about neurodivergence and stuff like that, you kind of dive in and learn that like, oh, the reason you're creative is because your mind works a little bit different. And that is how, that's where you find focus. That's where those types of outlets, those picking up a new hobby, a new whatever, are the way my brain gets a rush. It's the only way that my brain can get a rush and actually stay focused on it. Otherwise I get bored too easy and I dip. So having that like kind of creative instinct has always been there since I was like a little kid. It's just always been there. Whether it's like making little things out of clay, like I remember being like, I don't know, 10 years old and remaking a pretty decent like Simba from Lion King out of clay. And I just focused on it. And I was there for like probably 8 hours, just like sculpting this little thing. First time ever sculpted. I remember drawing like similar things on the computer using like MS Paint and just like getting into it. Years later, I was like designing a website for like a band I really liked. It just got really, really into that hobby for a little while. And it's kind of always been like that since forever. I've always kind of just dabbled. In fact, on YouTube, for anyone who has like been there from the beginning, you might know my channel started completely different from where it is the last you saw me. I mean, right now people still think of me as, oh, Star Wars guy. He's a Star Wars. You're the Galaxy's Edge Star Wars guy. Or Star Cruiser Star Wars guy. Whatever. You're the guy who goes and gets all the toys. Micro Machines Star Wars guy. There's people who know me as the shoe painting guy. Because that's where I started. My first, 15, 20 videos were Disney art on shoes, of all things. And that was one of those other, creative hobbies that just kind of took off and became its own beast. And yeah, that's how I got into YouTube, actually. Like, I'd quit my day job to pursue the painting thing all day. And in doing so, I was like, okay, let me pull my kid out of daycare. And I did. I was like, why pay for daycare if I'm going to be home all day working, painting? And so I did. And he was at home and he started watching TV and he would get into YouTube. And he was watching stuff like EvanTube HD and like those little kids who play with like Angry Birds toys and stuff like that. And I'm like kind of half watching this stuff with him. And I'm thinking, this is like all that people are just like opening toys and just like making videos about this stuff. Okay, let me like dive in a little deeper and see what's up. And then I had made some friends in the Disney theme park kind of area too. Like people who'd go to the parks and report on that stuff in the early days. We're talking like 2012, 2013, 2014. And so I started thinking, okay, I've got a camera on my phone. I can do this. And so I started just with my phone and recorded like a really long time lapse of me doing one of the paintings. And I was like, let's see if I can make that into a video. It did decent. It got a couple thousand views for being my first video ever. And I was like, okay, there's something here. Cool. Kept going. I had like a viral hit with the lava pair. I don't know if you remember the little short lava, the Pixar short with the volcano.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I was invited to an event because of my artwork. I got invited to an event at Disney World where they showed us that lava short about 6 months early before the public got to see it. And I knew that when we saw it, that there wasn't a dry eye in the house in that conference room that we were in. Everybody was like, oh my God, that was like really emotional. And so I was like, okay, hey, that's coming out with Inside Out. Funny, Inside Out's coming out now, or at least the sequel is in a couple weeks. But when Inside Out 1 came out, that's when Lava was in front of it. And so I was like, okay, I know when this movie's coming out. I know this song's going to be a hit. Let me see if I can download an illegal copy of the song and put it in a video set to me doing the artwork of it, because everybody's going to want that song. And it was a trade-off. It was like, at the point I was making, you know, a little bit of money on YouTube, and I was like, I can't monetize it, but let me, it was just a very strategized like thing that I thought out of like, okay, I went from being just creative brain to more business brain and going like, how do I capitalize on this knowledge I've been given about how good this short is? And so I put the song on there, and that's what I titled it, like Lava Song or whatever, but it was also a shoe painting tutorial, and that thing blew up. Got, I don't know, like 85,000 views within a week or something, which was huge for me at that time. I think I maybe had like 1,200 subscribers at the moment, you know? So it was a massive video for me back then. And that was one of those things that just like, yeah, cool. That was a different creative muscle to flex, you know? Instead of physically painting, it was more of the, ooh, what are the details of how this YouTube thing works?
Okay, so that's exactly what's going to lead into my next question, because when you were talking about that, it becomes something where you get upset. Like for me, I get obsessed with one particular hobby, and I give it 110%. I learn everything I can about it till I'm tired of it, and then I push it to the side. So it was, I know exactly what you're talking about, but. Do you have a certain point? I'm guessing it's this lava song where that art, that creative passion was from that art, now obsessing over YouTube. Yeah. But is there anything that you kind of said, no, I want to continue to do the art? Or was that like a full shift of, you know, I want to learn this obsessed over this YouTube thing? And
It was more gradual, but that was kind of a tipping point, that lava video. Because with that lava video, I noticed, like, I went to VidCon later that year and also like Star Wars Celebration. And given that that's a heavy Disneyland Parks crowd that goes to both of those, I noticed I got recognized a lot more. I started getting seen in the parks a lot more. People were like, oh, hey, it's Dano, the guy who does the shoes. And I was like, this is kind of cool. I like this. How do I do that again? And so it went from being like, no, I'm going to create and do this like artwork, and that's what I'm doing, into, no, how do I learn this new system, and how do I like game it? How do I do the best? Like, how do I get that viral hit again? What's going to work? What doesn't work? And it was a gradual gear shift over that summer, from probably June until about August. And I remember it well because it was in August or early September that my content made a complete shift. And it was when I was diving into those analytics over that summer when I was trying to learn, hey, what's working on my channel? Why did the lava one blow up? Why are certain videos doing better than others? When I look back to a video I had made on a whim, random video, we were at Star Wars Celebration and my youngest child wanted to build a lightsaber at that lightsaber station, the little plastic pieces, you know, you put them all together. And I filmed it and I just put it out, thought nothing of it. I was like, yeah, it's not a shoe video, not artwork, whatever. We'll just put it out. Who cares? Put it out, thought nothing of it. But I checked back on it a few months later and I noticed that one video had like 60,000 views, which was, again, way better than a lot of my other videos at the time. So I was like, wait, what's that about? And so on my next trip over that summer, I was like, let me go back to that station and film more just to see if there's something will line up and I can do it again. Sure enough, I released another video and it worked and it did really, really well, better than any of my art stuff. And so I started noticing that like, oh, okay, so there's something here with lightsaber videos. There's something here that's landing. Let's try and replicate that again. If so, then I know I'm onto something. And I just noticed that gradually it was no longer about painting or, you know, like the shift just kind of slowly happened where my focus became more about the analytics and about learning how YouTube works and how to get more views and how to get retention and stuff like that. And I really focused on that hard. And I saw another opportunity in front of me when Force Awakens came out that same year, because they would do those like Force Friday events where they'd release everything at midnight back when Toys R Us was still open and they would do like midnight releases.
I remember those.
And so I would go out, like I remember making a big deal of like, okay, the key is to be first. Like, at least back then, it was definitely all about being first. It still kind of is. But when it came to like toys, I was like, cool, no, I'm going to go to Toys R Us that night at midnight, film a little bit of the adventure of what it is seeing all the other weirdos and going to make videos all night till like 8 a.m. because I had work the next day or whatever. But I was like, I'm just going to do an all nighter. I'm going to go buy a bunch of crap and I'm going to come home and just film unboxing after unboxing after unboxing and be the first person to get all this stuff out. And sure enough, it worked. It worked well.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's early on how we found you was through some of the lightsaber toys, the Micro Machine toys and, you know, just kind of watching from afar. But when you're talking about this, trying to figure out what works, because again, I want to kind of get in the mind of Dano. And you had this passion of painting, right? You had the passion of painting, and then you're getting to learn this algorithms and what works, what doesn't work. During this process, is it something that, you know, I'm pretty sure you had this enjoyment with the figures and the toys and kind of this collecting, but was there ever a point that you were playing more towards the algorithm or to that, just the system than the actual, like, this is, I'm enjoying it, like early on?
Yeah, early on, it was still that kind of discovery phase of like, I'm still learning how this works more, which also doesn't really work because they change the way it works constantly. So when you think you have it down, all of a sudden it's like, oh no, algorithm works differently. Now we got to do this, you know? So, but I was learning that. It was in the early days where things changed less often. But no, it wasn't. Back then, it was still more like, no, what do I really like? And how do I make content out of that that I can package in an enjoyable and fun way that I think will land with people? You know, it was more about how do I turn what I already genuinely like into something I can create content about? And for a while, that's how it worked for quite a while. There was kind of a point. I mean, I feel like now, like especially now, 2024, Dano doesn't want to do that same stuff anymore in the same
okay,
way.
Okay, we're not at 2024 Dano yet.
Early days.
We're still back in early days. Like there's motivation, but to kind of reference now, like there's a lot of, you know, kind of like from our channel, the experience from our channel. There's this sense of community building. And
sure.
I kind of feel that kind of came from the streaming world of like this, you know, you're building this community around like whatever the brand is or whatever it is. was there that sense of community when you were kind of building the Dano channel, or was it more of, hey, you're just putting out content and people are receiving it well?
Early on, it was more just putting out content. I think it was because the style of the content, like you mentioned, some of the stuff being Micro Machines, like stuff from the 90s. There wasn't a lot of repeat viewers that I saw. Like, it wasn't until I got a really big bump in subscribership, and we're talking going from, I feel like, 25,000 to about, I don't know, 50, like doubling that much, was mostly due to Galaxy's Edge. And so that's when the community aspect really started to come into play. It wasn't until 2019 with Galaxy's Edge. Prior to that, I would have some like regular viewers. You'd see a lot of the same names commenting here and there, but it wasn't as much of a community focus until 2019, summer of 2019, when Galaxy's Edge opened. And similar to the Star Wars Force Awakens thing, knowing, hey, there's a big opportunity here to be first, I use that same strategy with Galaxy's Edge. I made, like, anytime news dropped anywhere about it before it even opened, like, I wasn't even at Celebration in Chicago or wherever they, I think it was Chicago, where they talked about a lot of the new stuff coming out. I wasn't even there, but people were sending me stuff constantly, and I was just like dropping everything to put out a video about news about Galaxy's Edge before it opened. And opening weekend, I was there. I was all about it, like multiple times, because you had to get reservations. And so I made multiple Disney accounts, made multiple reservations per day, because you could only go in for like 2.5-3 hours, and then you couldn't ride anything. Like, they would kick you out if your bracelet didn't match the color or whatever. And so I made multiples to be able to spend the whole weekend there. And that paid off really well. But at that point, I started noticing those different like things and all the different groups, and people started seeing me like, hey, I'm like, okay, we can do something here. And that's where the community aspect of it really, for me, started to grow more than anything with Mubo's Droid Builders Club. That was one of the first groups that I was like, there's something here. This is, I know there's going to be other people that are like-minded and want to focus on this type of thing, customizing those $100 plastic droids. Because I knew I wanted to do it. And one of the like the theories or whatever that I always kind of tell myself whenever I'm creating something or making something is, look, if I'm doing it, there's at least 1,000 other people out there who want to do it and haven't started yet. Like, at least, and I know I can reach at least that 1,000, if not more, but if I can get a fraction, like 10% of them to share it, like 100 people to share it, I'm great. You know, like, that's kind of my thinking when it comes to like creating stuff is like, is there enough people out there who also weirdly care about this the same way I do? You know, you have to like think like that, like, how many other weirdos are there who are really going to love this one? I grew a lot as far as the community, the shift from content for content's sake, more to content for community's sake, happened more with Galaxy's Edge, and then later Star Cruiser.
Yeah. So that kind of it's a little bit of a leading question here. I'm more asking on the sense, during that time that you're creating the content for content's sake, did you have kind of a confidant in the back of being able to bounce ideas, to be creative? Or was this just you throwing spaghetti at the wall, just like, I'm going to try this, and, or this is what I like to do. Was there anything that you kind of like, anybody type of thing that you had, and not, do you feel really, that maybe it was a benefit or a detriment to, as you progress through?
Both. It is kind of funny, you of all people asking me that question, considering the relationship I built with Sarah. You know, it's like, it's very funny you asking me that, because I didn't really have that before running into Sarah because of Star Cruiser. And so that's kind of like where our relationship established, is having another brain to bounce stuff off of, specifically with Star Cruiser content. But yeah, no, prior to that, no, it was just all me. I mean, I had, you know, I had a girlfriend at the time and kids. I would occasionally be like, what do you think? But honestly, I didn't. it was all me. It was just me like, I'm going to do what I want. I could ask for your opinion. I'm like, hey, I'm going to do what I want.
Well, no, but I think there's a level of sharing an idea with someone and kind of you're bouncing it off. Whereas like somebody's going to take it and kind of like run with it with you.
Where yeah,
you
can or like, add oh, to maybe it. Try yeah, this. And be maybe, like, oh, like, yeah.
Yeah, add to it.
Yeah, exactly. And so like, honestly, I didn't have anything really like that until I partnered up with Sarah to start making vids about Star Cruiser. And that's kind of where we hit it off. We're like, right. Oh no, cool. This is like cool ideas. And you know, what was the first video we did? We're trying to figure out how much the Grand Captain's cabin would be.
Yeah. Yeah. Was and so way just like, off on that.
Yeah. And I don't think actually it wasn't that far off. I think we were within like $2,000 or $3,000. If I remember correctly.
Maybe. Yeah.
We were close, I think.
I'm not going to. Sarah would know exactly what it was.
I'm sure. Yeah.
And I'm asking these questions because, you know, I'm going to kind of reel it back to my perspective on this. And one of the things that, you know, before we got on, I was telling you that I was kind of excited to have this conversation. And even without Sarah, because there's this, you know, we've built this channel as Princess and Scoundrel, but there's a bit of autonomy lost during this journey. And I feel that sometimes I want to have my voice heard more. And sometimes it's like there, you know, I'm the scoundrel, you know, of Princess and Scoundrel, not Steven. And having, you know, on the back end, I'm able to have conversations with Sarah about, hey, let's try this on the episode. Let's try this. And it's a lot of push and pull. But again, I'm excited for this episode because this is just us kind of having a conversation and
just broing
whatever
down.
Little tangent that, yeah, it's like whatever little tangent I want to have, I'm able to have it. And there's not anybody to tell me, oh, well, let's take it this way. But
it's the Steven show.
It's the Steven show today. But no, kind of going back into this, on my perspective of being creative, I know you and I have had conversations of this kind of inadequacy that I feel that I have with being creative. And, you know, you've kind of gave me the pep talk. No, you're creative.
I was going to say, yeah, which is wild.
You know, that's
because you're one of the most
creative. That's always stuck with me.
Like,
but there's this, you know, part of me that, or, and I'm pretty, you know, like you say, there's probably a part in everybody that feels they're unable to do it. And it just takes that next step of seeing a friend do it, or, you know, the pep talks, hey, you can do it type of thing. And that's sometimes all it takes is that bouncing off the idea of like, hey, I think I want to try this. And you having the right friend be there at the right time. Hey, yeah,
to say,
you need to do it.
Go for it. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That helps.
And
that helps a lot.
So I, you know, I think, you know, I want to make sure I kind of reiterate that is like there's being creative and, you know, being scared, and that's okay, but make sure you go and try it and still do it. And because that's one of the, you know, my first things was like, I didn't want to regret this. I didn't want to regret not doing it than to do it and fail. Type of thing.
Yeah. And so I have a question for you then, and maybe we get into this on my one of my new shows, because I want you on as a guest, just you first.
Okay.
Before I interview Sarah. But for those who don't know yet, on my channel, I'm taking a little bit of a gear shift right now, and I'm going to be interviewing a lot of fellow creators to figure out that process of what it took to get them from being a passive content consumer, someone who just watched vids or posts or whatever, to someone who made that YouTube or Instagram account and started uploading and posting themselves, or started an Etsy shop, or started whatever. I want to figure out what that is for all of my different friends that I've made throughout this whole journey. And I feel like, Steven, I want your story first. I want your story before I get Sarah's story. I think that's the right way to do it. And so I am curious, and maybe we get into this a little bit more on my channel later, but
yeah, no, I'm definitely
down. I know you started like Twitch streaming before Princess and Scoundrel was a thing. you were a Twitch streamer like regularly. Is there still an itch for Steven to want to do just Steven stuff? Like, does that still kind of every once in a while you're like,
So absolutely. Okay. And this kind of leads, you know, I mean, we're working like we're the princess and scoundrel here.
Well, which one am I?
My next question. you know, sometimes there's a little princess, little scoundrel. Absolutely. I definitely feel that having that just that freedom to do and say whatever, you know, it's freeing, and being able to kind of just go on whatever tangent, because, you know, at that time I was playing video games, but I never pigeonholed myself to play, you know, this FPS or this FPS or, you know, this RPG type of like any kind of genre of game. I was just picking a game that I wanted to play and I played it, and I was more having the conversations with people that were in chat, and that was the freeing thing. And more the growth that I had was learning to talk to nobody and having a conversation with nobody and being able to do that public speaking that you were supposed to learn in high school. But I was figuring that like on the fly.
And I think that's part of the grind for any up and coming streamer, is learning how to talk to nobody, because you do. The first time you live stream on any platform, you're talking to nobody or maybe one person, but it's how do you feel
talking more to mom.
Natural about it? yeah. Whoever's, you know, in the background, like, how do you feel more natural and how do you learn to own your own voice? Even if you're just talking to a lens, you know, like when I make videos, I've kind of learned to, in a way, pretend that behind this camera lens I'm looking at are, you know, some 50, 60,000 people. And so I kind of have to address it with that cadence that, no, I'm talking to a bunch of you right now, not just no one else in the room. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to learn to channel that or get that different energy in it, because it picks up on the other side as a viewer.
Oh, yeah.
When you're watching stuff like that.
I mean, it was.
You can tell someone who's uncomfortable.
It would be almost comical.
Sure. To go back and watch like early stuff. I'll go back.
I was saying.
Oh, I was gonna say, like, I go back to my first video I made. If you listen to like the voice and the cadence I had in it, it's so weird. It is so like, who the heck is this guy? It's so different.
Yeah. No, I definitely have gone back and looked at old videos, and I was just like, man, I was like such a nervous wreck, and, you know, so mousy and quiet.
Sure. I mean, we all are. That's where we start, right? Like,
but it also, you know, while we're talking about this. You know, and I'm talking about how, you know, having my independence and kind of this freedom during that time of creating, you know, you had the art, and then you kind of went into the Star Wars toys and kind of playing with the algorithm and the numbers. Did you start feeling during that time, or was there a fear during that time that you started feeling like you were getting too niched in? Into something.
Yes, definitely. And I noticed it more, like, I didn't feel it as much like as a negative thing. I thought it was a good thing until everything started falling apart, like with Star Cruiser. You know what? Like, as soon as the Star Cruiser closed, and then I just feel like all these other little dominoes started to like topple with it, and like movies are getting canceled. They're not releasing as many like toys and stuff like from Hasbro, like all the little things that I had kind of built up and relied on and thought like, cool, this niche that I found is working so great, started like systematically falling apart little by little. And whether it's like Shop Disney not doing affiliate links or whatever, I'm like, oh, cool. That was a big chunk of my income. That's no longer a thing all of a sudden. What the heck? You know, so there's little things like that just all kind of fell apart. That really were so infused and ingrained into my content strategy. You know, like what I would post on some of like my like secret links groups or whatever would be a lot of affiliate links and stuff of like, here's the cool thing coming out, but all of a sudden there's no cool things coming out, or there's not a way for me to like monetize it. So it's like, as much as I still want to give the info, it's hard when I need to work on something else that does pay me. Because, you know, it's like, it's like one of those things, where do you focus your time? And I feel like then I kind of felt that pressure of like, shoot, there was a little bit of a dry spell with Star Wars stuff coming out, and there wasn't as much happening. And it's like, what do I do? Like, there's nothing new at the parks for a while. They just closed Star Cruiser. We're not going to have a movie till who knows when. What is there to talk about? You know, so I definitely feel that crunch now, especially where I'm just like, I'm not super excited at the moment about a ton in Star Wars, as far as the content that's coming out. Like, I still enjoy it and like it and watch it, but nothing's got me fired up the way it used to get me fired up.
Now, do you think that bad taste in your mouth is because there's a sense of you feeling burned? Because it was kind of like, you don't want to put that effort towards it because you don't want to feel like there's not enough there? Or is it more of like you're stepping back from it because you?
Yeah, I feel like a little bit like. So I feel like you were asking earlier about it maybe being a burden to have niched down, where it's a hard balance, because if you don't niche down, you don't really see that growth. You can't dominate or become an authority on a subject, right? Like, one of the reasons I got some of that growth was niching down into Galaxy's Edge or owning Star Wars Micro Machines content. Like, no one else really has done it the way I did it. It just didn't exist back then because it was old stuff from the 90s. And so I owned that, and I was able to build authority in those little niches. And so that is a really, really good thing, to be able to focus like that. But you're right that in a sense it does kind of pigeonhole you in a way. Reminds me of 2018 when Jurassic World 2 Fallen Kingdom came out, and I was really stoked on all the new merch that is coming out. And so I was like, you know what? We're going to add that to the channel. We're still going to do Star Wars stuff, but we're going to add on top of it. I'm going to do double work. I'm going to be reviewing all the Star Wars stuff that's out, and I'm going to start reviewing Jurassic World stuff too. And so I was releasing multiple videos a day. I was working my butt off, just churning out videos upon videos. And I would release a Star Wars one in the morning and a Jurassic World one in the afternoon. And all the comments on the Jurassic World one were, oh, I miss when you did Star Wars content. And it was just like, are you kidding me? I released the video 6 hours ago that was Star Wars, and there's going to be another one. Like, I was doing two vids a day, like 4 or 5 days a week. Like, I was churning stuff out. I don't think I've ever worked that hard on the YouTube channel as much as I did in that era. And I felt burned by people not accepting the new.
Okay. Like that's where I wanted you to hold that thought, because at that point, like, you had this excitement of, hey, you have the Star Wars content that you're feeding the internet, feeding YouTube, and you had this other, you know, interest of Jurassic Park, and you start, you know, busting your hump, creating this content, and there's a sense of not appreciation for it. How did you handle it during that time? Was it something that you just said, you know what, forget it, it's not worth it? Or did you say, I'm going to continue until it kind of putters off? Or
So with me getting that kind of negative reinforcement, I gradually just tapered off of that content. It, like, I kept doing it, and I just kept getting more and more annoyed with, like, you know, some people really loved it, and some of it did well, but, like, for, I don't know, every 90 comments that were like, no, this is really cool, there would be the one person to be like, I wish you still did Star Wars, and I would just be fuming. You know, it would just be like, are you serious? You just, like, really? And it, like, that one was enough to just, that's who I am. That's just how I react to things. Like, I can get a million wonderful compliments, and the one negative thought that gets thrown my way, I will just harp on, and I will just destroy everything because of it. Like, that is who I am. I know who I am. That's how I work. And so, like, in that same sense, having that happen with all the Jurassic content, I was just eventually like, yeah, I guess I'm not doing this anymore. Like, the next time I get some random kid commenting, bring back lightsabers, when I dropped two lightsaber videos a few hours before, you know, it was like, I don't like how this algorithm works on your guys' brains. Something's not landing right here. And it's just, it gave me a weird taste in my mouth for people. You know what I'm saying? Like, give me one of those weird, like,
yeah.
How does this all work? We're all mindless. I don't know.
Now the next question, and you kind of hit on it right here, is as you started through your journey through YouTube, one would expect that your audience kind of grows with you. But by the nature of the content that you were creating, you know, if it was Micro Machines or, you know, Star Wars toys, this would be a younger audience.
Yeah.
When did you start kind of seeing kind of the painting on the wall where it was, hey, I kind of want my audience to grow with me instead of it to stay the same age? Or was that ever a point in time that happened?
Oh, no, that totally happened. And that comes through with the, like, it's really noticing the lightsaber content. I feel like that always skewed much younger, whereas Park's content was more late teens to early to mid 30s. Lightsaber content was probably like, who knows, like 4 years old to like 13 or 15. And that was it. Like, it didn't really grow much more than that until I started doing more high-end lightsabers. But my focus initially was for quantity reasons, and to really spread and own the algorithm for lightsabers, was to go with stuff like Blade Builders and Lightsaber Forge when they came out and really dominate that area. And so that did skew younger. And you can tell by the comments that you see that sometimes, like, yeah, okay, these are definitely like kids, which is fine. But when you want to grow a community that you want to be like a profitable business brand, you got to be able to like have some kind of turnaround. Views are cool and AdSense is nice. But if you're trying to monetize and make your time and efforts worthwhile, worth getting paid for, unfortunately, like, it sounds kind of sad to say that, but like, that's the truth. We're putting hours into this. It's nice to be compensated for entertaining people, but AdSense doesn't do it as well as affiliate links do. And once I leaned more into that side of things with affiliate links and sponsorships and stuff like that, it became more of a like, okay, well, I want my audience to be able to use these links or sponsors because that makes me a more valuable creator and opens me to more opportunities if my audience is in that same demographic that these brands are looking for, whereas it may not necessarily be that way with the younger ones. And so I did notice, like, I started keeping that in mind a little bit more, and I would structure my videos and like, I started to a little bit where it was more for the parents. Like, I would keep them in mind as I was making the video. I'd be like, parents, if you're getting this for your kids, or, you know, I'd like add that kind of stuff in. Like, if you're thinking about picking this one up for a whatever year old, and really make who I saw on the other side of the camera here, it would be those, you know, 20 to 40 somethings with kids instead of the kids. And that's kind of who I was trying to talk to more in that sense. And one of the things, like, early on, it's kind of related, kind of unrelated, but when I went to this Disney side creator conference thing for my shoe painting, back when I got the lava video sneak peek, they brought out a lot of people in entertainment to come out and talk to us and teach us about how to make good content. They flew us out to Disney World to film YouTube videos for the Disney Parks YouTube channel. Like, that's what they brought us out for. And in that, they wanted to get us all inspired and ready. And so they brought out Vin DeBona, who is one of these old school TV producers. He's been around forever, seen it all. He's one of the guys who helped create America's Funniest Home Videos. And yeah, he, like, kind of,
I remember seeing that name.
He gave us the formula. He said, if you can make the kids laugh in the first 3 or 4 seconds, cool, you've got the kid locked in. If you can make mom laugh in the next 5 to 10 seconds after that, cool, you've got mom and the kid locked in. And if you can get both of them, your odds of also getting dad locked in too are pretty high, but you have to structure your content for those first 15, 20 seconds to hook all three types. And that was like one of those things that I kind of always kept in the back of my head when it came to making videos, just being goofy, like, okay, let's get the kids to laugh, but let's also give some value for mom and dad afterwards. So, you know, like kind of structured in that way. So how do I bring everybody yeah. in here? But at the end of the day, certain parts of that content, like I said, the lightsaber stuff would skew much younger. And it's all about, I don't know. I think part of me wanting it to grow was also the age of my kids. So when I started, my kids were really young and little and were watching a lot of this stuff and they had interest in it. In fact, they were in some of the older videos. And at some point they aged out. They were like, yeah, we don't want to do this anymore. And I was like, cool, I'm not going to force you to. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. No big deal.
Yeah,
we just won't have you in the vids anymore, but I've built this thing and I kind of got to keep it going. So I would just do it. And it worked. It worked well. And in fact, it was a little bit easier, a little less chaos to wrangle when it came to making and like putting together a video, which I was like, okay, this is actually a little nicer. but that's just the reality of it. But so as they aged out and got older and into other things, then I kind of stopped wanting that same younger audience if it wasn't my own kids. Does that make sense? Like I kind of, as yeah. my kids got older, I kind of didn't care as much as about the same stuff that my audience did because I was kind of more into what the kids were into and cared about that a little bit more, but that didn't really suit the business. And so I kind of had to make that split.
Yeah. And I think this is like a great kind of conversation to have because I feel like you're coming from old YouTube, right?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Like definitely. When YouTube was like really being it's molded so different and now. Figuring out what it was. And our channel kind of came into it post-pandemic.
Yeah.
And we were very conscious of not niching ourselves down. Like, you know, we kind of in our tagline, it's from Fantasyland to Tatooine to everything in between because we kind of felt that, you know, even from my streaming, I didn't want to niche myself down to be this specific game because yes, I could be an expert at it to the other 100 people that were obsessed with this games, but there was, you know, 1,000 more people that kind of liked the game, but they wanted to play something else.
Yeah.
So our mindset going into the content, you know, doing this stuff was like, what's something Sarah likes? What's something I like? And just kind of the other things within our lives that we obsess over. And it's just a different mindset that we kind of went into. It was like, you know, I don't want to niche down. I want to like, hey, this is everything that we like to do. And it's just interesting to hear like how you started in this idea of like a passion for this creativity to going into, you know, obsessing over this algorithm. Whereas it felt like we went into it more conscious of like the totality of what YouTube was like, okay, we're going in here creating content. We're conscious about, you know, what's going to be around and what's going to be done and not just like throwing those noodles against the wall.
And so I got to ask then, because since your channel was largely built around Star Cruiser content, like your biggest, most successful content you've put out has been centered around Galaxy's Edge or Star Cruiser, right? Like when yep. the videos you yep. have that had the most views and the biggest response were mostly Star Cruiser videos. Now that Star Cruiser is closed and there's not as much to talk about directly involving it, you guys have found really good creative ways to bring essence of Star Cruiser and create interesting content around the same idea and vibes that it had. But I'm curious, maybe this is like too much of how the sausage gets made here, but are those vids that aren't necessarily Star Cruiser as successful as that Star Cruiser content? And like, just yes or no, like
no.
on average, yeah. no.
Okay. Yeah, no, so, it they're not. Yeah. I think the difficult part for us is because we're kind of a duo in these conversations.
Yeah.
And a lot of Sarah's identity was around Star Cruiser. And I think that for was sure. after its closing, kind of there was this void for her
yeah.
and trying to get out of it. Whereas again, for me, I felt it was like, you know, I really, really liked the place and I loved it just like everyone else did, but now it kind of frees us up to talk about other things.
Yeah.
And it's just trying to figure out how to have those conversations without being, and kind of that feeling of like, you know, hey, I'm talking to these kids. Like, I don't want to always reference back to Star Cruiser.
Yeah.
You know, like us talking about it. Like,
yeah, we're going to be like 10 years later.
It's pertinent to this conversation, but I don't want to like, I don't want that. I want to be able to say like, hey, Princess and Scoundrel, we talk about this. We talk about that. We have these intellectual conversations about other things, not just Star Cruiser. And for me, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I know, you know, on the other side of the table, there's this essence of like, hey, this was a part of my identity. And, you know, sometimes I feel like she holds on and I'm like, hey, like, if it doesn't pertain to the conversation, I don't think it needs to be talked about. Like,
sure.
Yes, it was, it's a beautiful community that still kind of lives on.
Yeah.
And we're going to continue it as long as we can. But at the same time, it doesn't have to be everything that we do.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to revolve everything around what we do.
But I am curious, like, to see where your guys' future ends up, because it is about finding that balance of how do you niche down and become an authority on a subject? Because that's the idea of why you niche down, right? Is because you want to be the authority on that specific subject, because that gives you relevance and that builds your audience. That gets you people who share your stuff. Because they look at it, say, oh, no, I saw this thing from this guy or whatever, these two. Yeah, they know what they're talking about because I saw other stuff from them that also seemed like they knew what they were talking about. You know, and like, so that's how you build that rapport with people, is niching down on a specific subject. But it's that balance of how do you niche down broadly? You know what I'm saying? Like, thinking of some of our friends who are super successful and figured this out really well, Peter and Kitra. They figured out how to kind of niche down broadly. They're doing a lot of travel. It's a lot of Disney content. Yeah, it started out with a lot of Star Wars content, definitely. But they found a good way to not just be stuck doing Star Wars or not just stuck doing Disney parks. They're also doing cruises. They're going to Tokyo. Like, they found a good way to package their whole Ordinary Adventures essence in a really smart in broad enough way that they're not really just stuck doing the one type of thing. And they figured out that formula like really well. Very like, I'm so proud of them and happy to like see, because they started around like their, you know, their channel started after mine and they kind of got a big bump off of Galaxy's Edge 2. And I don't try to like see my peers like as competition, but it's more like, hey, like that's awesome. Get it. And to like see their success and how they've been able to leverage that bump from Galaxy's Edge to grow in like a really, really good way, but still keep it broad, is like they did exactly that. They niche down, but broadly, you know, like, yeah, they're a good example of how to do that.
But I think the thing is they were able to niche down to this idea of, you know, traveling to the Disney parks. And they grew, like, you began to love them and not necessarily the information that was being passed along. So then when they ventured off into something else, you were there for their adventure, not necessarily, they were there for the journey, not for the destination.
Yeah. Okay. And so this is one of my struggles. Like, I hear that. I hear that from people all the time. Oh no, dude, we'd watch you do anything. And like, I haven't figured out the right other thing yet, because people could say that all day. You could say that. And I know it's on me, but I haven't figured out what that other thing quite is that will still catch their attention. Cause I will occasionally just like randomly throw something different in just to see what happens. And it never works or takes off. It just never has. And again, it might be in my, maybe I don't package it with the same passion I do the normal content, or, you know, like I haven't figured out what my shortcoming is on that, but I know that as much as people will say that, like, oh, dude, we watch you, whatever. It's very sweet of them to say that. But the reality is, no, they don't. Like, they don't. I've tried it. It doesn't actually work that way. Like, we think it, but for some reason with, like you're saying, Peter and Kitra figured out a really good way to do that in their packaging of that different kind of thing. Landed really well. And so, yeah, like that's been one of my struggles, is figuring out, okay, how do I still make it me? And that's one of the reasons my channel was called the Dano channel, not something Star Wars. I didn't like change it after the artwork went away and I went into like just Star Wars stuff. I didn't change the channel name to something Star Warsy. And I never, like, I always said I never would, because I didn't want to be locked in to that. And like, I found myself getting locked into it anyways. And so now in the next chapter of what the channel is going to be, it's still going to be Star Warsy to start, like, to, you know, for the beginning, like, of this new chapter. I'm still going to be talking to all the Star Wars creators. It's going to be a very Star Wars centric show, but I hope that as it evolves, I'll be able to get into stuff that's a little more, I don't know, a little more cerebral, a little more thinky, less me knocking lightsabers over on a desk and more talking to people about real stuff and what it's like to live this crazy lifestyle where we put ourselves out there all the time.
Okay. So that's, you know, again, we're working on all cylinders here because that kind of gets me to, you know, I would say like roughly December-ish when you decided to take a break.
Yeah.
I feel like December, because for me as well, like December was kind of a crapshoot and one of those just months that, you know, taking a break from things.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was able to kind of get myself through it. And I've gone through this whole, I feel like a whole transformation for myself. You know, I've started to eat healthier, work out and, you know, read books and kind of get myself in a better mindset just in life general. Like, so that way doing this content is not the primary cause for what my living is. It's just, it's another avenue of being creative. Mm-hmm. Like that's all I'm trying to use the content and doing these other things. But in the life side, I'm really trying to kind of expand my mind. Like you said, expand your mind and, you know, again, reading books, being healthy and all that stuff. So you taking a break, I hope that you took that time, because I commend you. I commend you to say, hey, I'm just like taking a break. But did you feel that it was something that was absolutely needed, or you just did it because you just wanted to like kind of wash your hands of the situation that you were in?
Yeah, it's a big mix of all kinds of things. It is, I just needed a change, like in all aspects. So that's part of it. The other part is like physically moving to a new space. So I didn't have a new space to film. And I'm still not in like a space that I totally love yet, hence the green screen. Like it's not, it doesn't feel like a place to record and do, like I have in past, you know, rooms, or because I, you know, through my channel, I've had multiple rooms that I've been filming in, and I'm still like kind of feeling this one out. And so it's not there yet. I don't feel like, I already recorded one episode of the new show and I'm still like, I don't feel it yet. I feel a little off still. And I'll get there. It's going to come with just practice and getting back into it. But it was a lot of things. Like part of that break was, no, I was moving somewhere else, reestablishing a whole new space. It wasn't quite, I didn't want it to be jarring. You know, the content all of a sudden just be like, oh, completely jarring and something totally different, right? Like next week. I don't like that. That doesn't feel right for me. But also I did need a reset. I needed to step away. I needed to like not do that, not get annoyed with comments, not, you know, like just step away from all of it for a bit and just be like, no, I'm good. Like literally unplug. Like my phone was off for a couple weeks. Like just, it was like on, I get powered on, but like I did not look at anything for a while. And it was the best feeling ever. And I thought it was just going to be like a day or two and I didn't want to go back. Like, it was one of those like, oh, this is so freeing to not have to have the watch on and the phone on and have to, you know, receive 1,000 emails a day or get who knows how many hundreds of notifications. Like, it was pretty nice. And so gradually I've been kind of trying to come back and check things off and, you know. But it's still one of those, like, where's that balance? Where is that balance?
Okay, so the first question is, so when was that itch of kind of the idea of, like, hey, I want to be creative again in a different sense? You know, this past Dano life is dead. I want to be creative in this, you know, new arena of having intellectual conversations and not just the toys.
So this specific thing, the new show, is actually an idea I had in 2022. And I just never moved forward with it. But it was something I came up with post-Star Cruiser. Like during Star Wars Celebration, the first time like we all went to Celebration together, I had this idea like a week or two before that. Was like, I know, I want to get into like more, I don't know, more like hanging out, talking about how this stuff works as people and less about like lightsabers and Jedi lore and stuff. You know, like that's more my actual vibe. Is I want to hang out around a campfire and just talk all night about what makes our brains work. That is where, that's my true, true lane where I feel like I have the most fun. The Star Wars stuff, I have fun too.
I mean, those are some deep conversations.
Sure. But like, and again, I don't know, my audience that I've built is not going to be ready for that, I don't think. And so I'll gradually get into more and more of that. At first, it's going to be kind of surface level and it'll be like, okay, cool. It's still Star Warsy. And we're going to get more, I think we're going to get more deep with it. I want to. That's what I would enjoy most. That's where I would like to see my content going, transitioning to eventually. But that specific creative bug was always there. I just decided that I'm just going to flex that instead. You know, instead of going to the old standby of what works. Like today, I was walking around Target.
Yeah.
And I saw a bunch of new like Micro Galaxy Squadron. And I saw some new Lightsaber Forge stuff. And I was like so tempted to want to like buy them and make a video about it. Cause I see comments that come through. They're like, oh, there's new ones. You need to review it. And like, there's a big part of me that's like, especially with the move. So part of me moving is a lot of my whole, like actually all of my collection is in storage. And it's, I don't like, moving that whole collection, moving that whole room and seeing how much stuff I had accumulated kind of grossed me out a little bit to where I was like, I don't need to buy anything ever again. Like I have so much Star Wars crap that now I'm paying, who knows, you know, a ridiculous amount a month to keep in a giant box. Why would I add to the pile? I can't with good sense add to the pile anymore. And so that's part of the content transition too, to being something less about collecting stuff and more about what doesn't take up space, my thoughts. Instead, what matters more, really, you know, like that's more where I'm at now. And it's going to be a, that's going to be a bit jarring, I think, for the audience to come back and see that. And they'd be like, no, this really is a boring conversation anyways. We're not lying with the title. And so that's what it's called, by the way, boring conversation anyways. And yeah, it's, I don't know. I'm interested to see what happens. What I'm more interested to see, because I mentioned earlier, like the slightest thing will discourage me. Like with the Jurassic World stuff, I was like, nah, I'm not going to do that anymore. Given that I have nothing else to contrast the new amount of views against, like back then I had the Star Wars stuff that I was like, Star Wars stuff is doing good. Jurassic's not. Stop doing the Jurassic, just focus on Star Wars. I could do that. Now it's just like, no, this is the new package. This is the new thing. You get what you get. And I just have to deal with whatever those analytics look like and just kind of starting from scratch in a way.
Yeah. And that's kind of my next, where I was kind of getting to is, are you going to mentally be, you know, after taking the break, consciously know that, hey, I'm not going to have these numbers that I had before with the toys and stuff.
I need to make peace with that quick, fast, and in a hurry because I don't know. I hope I could deal with it well. We'll see.
Well, hopefully. I mean, you know, you've always got us over here. Like, you know, you could lament too. But I think that's one of those things that, you know, hopefully like whatever break that you took and just going forward, I know, again, that's something I've tried to, you know, help Sarah, even tell myself, is like, we can't determine like what our future is off of other people's comments or other people's, you know, requests.
Yeah. Because no, for sure.
If not,
sure.
We're always going to be changing
and,
those.
And like the nice part about that is, I know earlier I said that like when people say, oh, we'd watch you do whatever. And I'm like, you don't. There are a core group that does. They're like, I don't want to discount them at all. I know that like for the most part, Tuesday night crew,
cynical,
like,
being, you know,
yeah, I was like being a little hyperbolic, but I don't want to discount them at all because I know that the Tuesday night like live stream crew that would hang out every week every Tuesday to do the live stream watch parties. Miss you guys. I feel like they're some of the most loyal supporters of my content. They would literally hang out with me every Tuesday night and we would just talk about the most random things ever. And it was a lot of fun. And I feel like that group of people, those like core supporters, they're going to get a lot out of the new content. And I feel like that's kind of who it's for, is the hardcore supporters. I feel like they're really going to enjoy that more than anyone else, more than random people that the algorithm just threw it to, you know? And so hopefully that core group of really good like supporters can grow. It won't be the same kind of growth as when you're hacking the algorithm to cover the brand new thing. It's not going to be that kind of growth. And I just have to make peace with that. But I feel like it's going to be the right kind of growth for me, if that makes sense. Like, that's more my speed. I want slow growth where I get to know you before I can bring you in, because that's how I am in real life. You know, like I'm pretty like distant, and, but I can like slowly bring you in once I get to know you a little better, but I'm pretty slow about it. I'm not
it's going to be about quality, not quantity.
Thank you. Yes. I hope that's how it ends up. We'll see. We will see.
I think we've got to a good point, because now we could see what Dano has in store for us. I want to thank you so much, Dano, for just kind of like on a weird conversation without Sarah, with, you know, this throwing these curveballs at you. Dang, you know, your first time back on YouTube.
It was a good one.
I appreciate you being here. Yeah, if you want to let everybody know what you do have coming forward, and when we have maybe a date. I don't know.
Okay. So yeah, I guess we're dropping everything here. Wow. You guys got the exclusive. Look at you. Princess and Scoundrel coming up. Okay. So new show. It's called The Boring Conversation Anyways. And I believe it's going to drop the first week of May, roughly May 3rd, May 4th ish around there. It's going to be hitting wherever you get your podcasts for audio format, but also on YouTube as a video podcast, an interview similar to what you just watched here. But the first episode is going to be just myself kind of going over what the show is. And just to give you a quick brief outline, it's basically asking all of my creative friends the same three main questions: is what is your Star Wars origin story? Like, what was it like? How old were you? Who showed it to you? Who are you with? What was that like the first time you were exposed to Star Wars? That's part one. Part two is going to be, when did you know that Star Wars was a part of your identity? That you were like, no, I'm a Star Wars person now. I like, that's, if someone asks, like, what's your fandom? What's your thing? Like, Star Wars. Like, what was it like making that transition? When did you know that you're a Star Wars person? Because there's Star Trek people. There's, you know, everyone has their like fandom thing. There's like Lord of the Rings people, whatever. It's all great. But when did you know you were a Star Wars person? And what, how did you get there? And the third part, because all the people I'm interviewing to begin with are going to be on the creative side, is what was it like posting that first post? What made you create that YouTube channel? What made you start that Instagram account? What made you say, yeah, I'm going to open the Etsy store and sell this product or fanzine or whatever? And so I've got some really cool guests lined up. I can tell you Star Wars Thrifting. I don't know if you know Silver of Star Wars Thrifting, one of my favorite accounts ever. Yes, okay. I dropped the F-bomb. One of my favorite accounts ever. She goes out every week and finds the most amazing thrift and like flea market finds, but it's all Star Wars. I love her account. One of the first people I interviewed, I had to. We've got Kara from Into a Larger World, which is a Star Wars fanzine, which like hit me right in my heart when I first found it a few years ago, because we used to do punk music zines where it's like handmade magazines, like cut and paste, like the text and all that. She makes those, but Star Wars. And so I was subscribed to it for a little while. And so I'm going to be interviewing her, Gabe from Star Wars Replicas, talking to Brian of Always Believe. Steven, I got to get you on before I get Sarah on. And so, yeah, it's going to be interviewing a lot of our friends, a lot of people we know, a lot of people in the Star Wars community, and kind of figuring out what each person's journey was, because everyone's got a different story. And I think there's a lot of value in learning what made someone go from a passive consumer of content to an active creator in that world, and kind of what's it like and what keeps you going.
I mean, I'm excited. I'm excited because it is in that realm of, you know, of what the content that I want to consume. Cool. So, you know, I'm excited to what you have forward, what you have going forward.
Awesome.
But you guys, you know, let us know like how we got this, you know, exclusive interview, you know, how excited you are for the future of what the Dano Show.
The return.
What was it again, Dano?
Dano Strikes Back. Boring conversation anyways.
The boring conversation anyways. Make sure you're checking out beginning of May, potentially. Until next time.